Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable panel for this Friday, the 5th of September. Good morning. And it was a short week for many of us, so it's nice to be at Friday.
Sure. It's always nice to be at Friday.
Absolutely. Let me introduce our panel to you. WAMC's Alan Chartok is with us. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Joseph. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Good morning. Also with us is newsman extraordinaire Ray Graff.
Yeah, digging the Larry Carlton today, Mr. Hopper, in the control room.
Yeah, good stuff.
Good bumper music, yeah.
Very good bumper music. And we have, she's been with us, she's been just egging to get on here for hours here at the studio, just waiting.
She
just walked in. Albany Journalism.
She was here earlier.
I've been here.
Yeah,
I just
absolutely.
Had to grab a jacket. You're freezing me out of here.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Joe's sitting here in a Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah.
My teeth are chattering.
It is University at Albany journalism professor and investigative reporter Rosemary R. Mayo joining us in the studio this morning. Hello, Rosemary.
Good
nice
morning.
To have you here. All right, so let's go on to the big news. Anybody have any... any requests as to where you'd like to start this morning?
Well, Ukraine would be good since we have breaking news on
yes,
that.
Yes, we do.
Okay, so let's go to Ukraine and let's talk about what is happening. I just want to make sure that Rosemary can hear everyone involved in the program.
There we go.
Right now.
Okay, this is great. We got headphones. She has headphones now.
Okay,
see,
good.
If she came in a little earlier.
Well,
we
make sure that
she'd
be able to hear everybody.
It's all right.
Throat clearing means we shouldn't be doing this, but go ahead.
Okay. Well, we want to make sure that Rosemary can hear everyone. That's all.
I can.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Right.
All right.
I hear you.
Okay. So let us start with Ukraine and what is going on and. The invasion word is being used.
I just have been reading that we have Angela Merkel talking about inflows of weapons and fighters, and President Obama has referred to a brutal assault on Ukraine. But no one is saying what is so obvious that Russia has invaded Ukraine, because that, of course, it's like saying genocide. When you say invasion and genocide, it requires perhaps more action than has been forthcoming from the West. But the good news today is that starting this evening, the two sides, the Ukraine and the Russian separatists, have agreed to a ceasefire. And I am not sure what the new terms are. They've been haggling over terms for the past 3 days.
So we wait and we hope, right?
Yeah. I mean, any stoppage of fighting is a good thing.
Alan, what do you think?
Well, first of all, I think we've made up our mind that if the Russians take one step into these other places, you know, the NATO allies, we're on them, like flies on honey. And but I think this one, the cards were dealt to Putin. I just have no faith that anything he says means anything. I know we got some objections when I said that yesterday, but I just think he says one thing and then he does another. He says one thing and then in come the troops. It's very frustrating. And since we don't know any more than that, there's not much that we can really analyze about this. Am I wrong?
Well, the terms of the ceasefire are really important. I think if it stops right now, you're right, Alan. This is totally to Putin's advantage. There's nothing that I've seen in the discussion so far that roll back the gains that the Russians and the separatists have made, which means you've got this kind of semi-half state or gray zone in eastern Ukraine. It's not part, and it certainly is not under the control of the people in Kiev, and yet it's not completely Russian either. My friend Vlad Larov, who was here earlier this week, maintains that that's exactly what Putin wants. He doesn't want it to be part of Russia because it's a very poor area and will require all kinds of social service needs that he does not want to pay for. And yet, it's not part of Ukraine either. It's like a little gray buffer zone in between him and Ukraine. And it certainly destabilizes the country.
Well, if that happens, and then it becomes less of a gray area and an independent state, which is not too many steps away, then NATO could say theoretically, well, if what's left of Ukraine becomes a NATO country,
member,
you're not really up against Russia. Now, there is that other, there's that new state, so don't complain, Putin.
Yeah, I mean, the sadness, though, is if think about this, if it were our country, they've already lost Crimea to the Russians, and now you're talking about the eastern side of it. It would be as if, okay, well, you're still the United States, it's just that you're the West and the Middle East.
So next move, then, if I'm NATO, is, okay, Ukraine, come on in.
I've not seen that sort of aggressive action by NATO. It'd be great, but I don't foresee it.
So why all the? I guess I'm reading this New York Times article, and it's just the semantics of it. It's too new.
Yeah, it's not sorted out yet.
I mean, it's an invasion. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, but we know what's happening, right? I mean, so we can call it whatever we want to call it, but this is what's happening. And we have to deal with that, right? I mean, what we call it is almost secondary.
You know, that's what the leaders...
Go
ahead, Alan, sorry.
Go ahead. No, I was just going to say, but in the end, you know, Putin wins this round. And I think that Ukraine has to basically agree, because they can't possibly... Unless they get a signal from the United States and from the UK and from the EU that they're coming in with boots on the ground, they have to succumb. I don't think that there is any alternative. If you're sitting in their seat to saying, okay, we give in.
Wow, I think that's kind of real politic. If without help from the West, that's certainly the situation. And that's why the wording is so significant. If we were saying invasion, our action would be different than these lesser words we're using. It is exactly the same as during the Rwandan crisis in the 1990s, when we would not use the genocide word, even though an entire tribe, if you will, was wiped out. We did not ever say genocide, because that kicks into action legal things in the UN and moral requirements for the United States to act. We're being very careful now not to fully condemn Russia.
Well, the UN isn't a factor.
So have we...
Not at all.
With Russia on the security
council. Not at all. Yeah. Shame.
So have we ceded Ukraine to the Russians? Has the United States ceded and the EU, Ukraine to the Russians, no matter what they want to do there, no matter how far they want to go?
I'm not quite sure how to respond to that.
And there doesn't seem to be that finality, does there?
But you take it to its natural conclusion, Joe, and you say, all right, so this is where he stops for now. Let's say Putin wants the rest of it. He's ticked off that the Ukrainian people rose up and said we want closer to the west than to the east, and he's saying, well, this is our area. You got rid of a lawfully constituted government. We want the rest of it. Is anybody going to step in at any point in Ukraine? I say they're not.
Yeah,
and
this is part of Putin's strategy to rebuild the old Russian Empire. And these little sections of countries that are no longer part of that country exist now in Georgia and in Moldova, perhaps Armenia. And so now he's got this little section of eastern Ukraine, too. And Chechnya, certainly, he has neutralized.
So it's the new Germany, where they had a West and an East Germany for a very long time. So now the border is, at this point, Ukraine.
Yeah, that's what it's looking like.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we will continue our conversation. We welcome your comments as well. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be right back after this short break.
Support for WAMC comes from the Schoharie River Center, presenting a sweet series on bees and beekeeping through October, schoharieriver.org. Third Eye Associates Limited, life planning, transition planning, and wealth management, registered investment advisors with offices in New York City, Washington, D.C., and Red Hook, New York, thirdeyeassociates.com. And TSL, Time and Space Limited in Hudson, New York, screening the broadcast of NT Live production of Medea and independent films Whitey, United States of America versus James J. Bulger, The Last Sentence, and Ida, timeandspace.org.
Good morning. Welcome back to our roundtable panel. It is very nice to have you with us. And we just have a few moments before we go to an NPR news break. And while we're on this subject, let's talk about NATO. Let's talk about the summit that is going on in Wales. And Rosemary, ultimately, what do you think can come out of this?
Out of the summit in Wales?
Yes.
I think we perhaps have seen what's coming out of it, a strengthened resolve by NATO to do something, but not right now, in the future.
In other words, standard operating procedure.
Unhappily, yes. I think we've drawn the line in the sand, and now we're going to. And of course, there is this new coalition,
right?
But that has to do with ISIS, not Ukraine.
So, in other words, we've done 25 miles, but we've done it on an exercise bike, and we haven't traveled anywhere.
Yes,
this is what it feels like,
Alan.
Speaking of exercise bikes.
Yeah, you know, I love my exercise bike. I think that something has happened here. I think that there is a resolve on the part of NATO. They don't want to do it, but they will, but it'll have to be for NATO members. It will not be, as I've said before, over Ukraine, because that battle, I believe, is lost. And, I keep trying to put myself into Putin's place and say, okay, I'm Putin. What would it be that would make me stop all of this? And there's only one thing, and that's resolve. If the president and the folks at the EU wag their fingers in his face, in Putin's face, in this case my face, and say, okay, then you got yourself a war. Otherwise, he's free to go.
Rosemary, how strategically important is it? We know about the pipeline.
Yes.
Obviously, for Europe in particular and Northern Europe, extremely important. But otherwise, how important is that to the West?
Ukraine, how important
yes.
is Ukraine to the West? It's important in the following reasons. It's right on the edge of Russia, and Estonia and the other Baltic states are right under it. It's key. It is key to the NATO alliance, I think. It's also highly symbolic because Ukraine has been extremely friendly to the United States. The crisis is happening at a time when American resolve and strength is suspect around the world. I think it's vital.
So is it then?
Okay, so if it's so vital, Rosemary, what do you do? You're now the West. What do you do?
Increase the sanctions and definitely send advisors and equipment into Ukraine. Bolster Ukraine.
Ray?
No, I'm good.
Okay. When you look at the overall, I mean, just NATO as a whole, what's going on in the world. So is it, and I think I asked this question earlier this week, and we only have about a minute left, but does one have to do with the other? I mean, aren't we just sort of keeping our eyes on sort of what else is going on that okay, they're not directly linked to what's happening in the Middle East, what's happening in Israel, what's happening elsewhere, and yet it is, isn't it?
Yeah, there was a wonderful cartoon that ran in, some major publication recently, and it showed Barack Obama standing in the middle of a circle surrounded by dogs, all of whom he has on leashes. And, of course, it's all the crises that are circling and entangling him right now. So, yes, I think they're related.
I'd love to hear from you. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Joe.
Okay.
I was just going to say Ryan wrote us as... Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll get to the letters on the other side. Okay.
Sure.
We'll get to that in just a moment. Roundtable at WAMC.org if you'd like to be like Ryan and write to us. Roundtable at WAMC.org.
Exactly.
We'll be back after this short break. Music seems to soothe you, right?
Yeah, nice. I have to after the show find out what album this is from, and I'll have to go buy it. Well done, Mr. Hopper.
Nice stuff. Let's talk about the X. We haven't really discussed this story. This is obviously a big story. I've been reading about this almost constantly in the Washington Post, and we haven't talked. I think we mentioned it once during the trial. But the ex-Virginia governor, Robert McDonnell, guilty of 11 counts of corruption. And a federal jury on Thursday found former Virginia Governor Robert McDonnell and his wife Maureen guilty of public corruption, sending an emphatic message that they believe the couple sold the office once occupied by Patrick Henry and Thomas Jefferson to a free-spending Richmond businessman for golf outings, lavish vacations, and $120,000 in sweetheart loans.
Mm-hmm. I love the story. I love this conviction. You have to work in the Eastern Europe to see how corruption cases get handled, to appreciate that we have a system where a powerful man, he was considered for the vice presidency to run with Romney, he's been convicted. He is going to serve some time.
And could be a lot of time.
A lot of time. It won't be as much as he could get, up to 20 years.
Right.
It won't be that.
Does anybody besides me feel bad for the guy?
No.
You feel bad for him, Alan?
I don't know. It seems to me that this is just a form of, mental whatever. He really pigged out. There's no two ways about it. He pigged out. She pigged out. They thought they could fool everybody. They thought he could come in and do it. But I always feel bad for people who, because of their greed or because of their stupidity, go astray. Maybe that's just my carrying around something. But I just
threw his wife under the bus.
His defense consisted.
And vice versa. By the way, and vice versa.
Well, he had the option. He had the option of pleading to one count of fraud, right? One fraud count,
and
letting his wife completely off the hook.
Correct.
And he said no, and reversed.
He had the
that.
Hubris to go to trial, and his defense consisted mostly of, "Oh, the Rolex. Oh, I didn't really like it that much. The golf clubs. Well, they were not the best. Unbelievable.
Well, the wife and he really." They hated each other, Joe. That's one explanation of why he didn't save her.
Well, I think that came later.
I'm not trying to make an argument for him. I'm just simply saying when people ruin their lives this way, one way or the other, it always seems to me to be a terrible tragedy. And by the way, I think many people in Virginia feel the same way.
There was one woman who, as he left today, said, "We still love you," and I don't. And it's really important for people to see why this is important. When public officials do this sort of stuff, they must be punished.
I think what you said in the beginning is so right. That's exactly right. That it is a question of law. But even the prosecutor said it was a terrible tragedy.
I think he meant no one won here, that these people face, now the ruin of their life, but also it wasn't a win for the state.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah. No, I don't feel sorry
exactly
for
what
him.
I mean.
And here was a guy that was that spoke out about, the sanctity of marriage and was talking about, was a regular on Pat Robertson's 700 Club and kept on talking about the importance of marriage and was against gay marriage and going through this whole thing. And then, I don't know. The whole thing seemed very a lot of hypocrisy and you get the sense. I don't know. At least I do. That you get the sense that he got what he deserved. Right. But
I still keep thinking of that woman in the crowd who yelled, "We still love you." You should not love someone who's done like this. We
who was convicted of 11 corrupt
related
counts.
We have to hold our officials to much higher standards.
All right. Let's move on to other stories in the news and the things.
We had a lot of mail, you know.
Oh, okay. Yes, I'm sorry, Alan. Go to the mail.
Yeah, okay. So let's see here. Bowie says, Gary says, "Panel, I find myself totally depressed and confused that 44 years after I was arrested in Washington, D.C. for protesting the war in Vietnam and 13 years after the events of 9/11, the humans all over the world are still beating the drums of war. I believe that a full 99% of the Earth's population are tired of war and want nothing more than peace on Earth. I so wish we, the people, could concentrate on peace and love and understanding that is greedy 1% who profit off of wars and who keep creating them." And let's see here. I don't know. There were some others, but I don't. Let's see. Blue Pass. What is that? Thank God Dick Cheney isn't calling the shots anymore. James in Williamstown. And then there were some others who came in before, but I don't see them. Do you see them, Joe?
You got the, there's one from John Lent. John writes,
"Well,
that...
why don't you, yeah, there, oh, I see it. John says, it used to sound to me like, it sounds to me like this morning's roundtable discussion is very much from the perspective of the United States and Europe in our interest for Russia and its interest. What about the people of Ukraine? What do they want? And why did they have a civil war? What is their best interest?"
Civil war.
And, And Sumaya says, yes, Alan, one cannot trust what leaders say, especially Putin and Netanyahu, who have agendas of land grab and genocide on their minds. And Ryan, who was the first in, and but the last we will read for now, says, as a historian, I have to say the inability to use words like genocide and invasion is regrettable. History won't be kind to our leaders for failing to do the right thing for the Ukrainian people. One wonders if there was a behind-the-scenes negotiation vis-a-vis Edward Bennett, the Czech president, before the World War, World War One.
Mm-hmm. Good letter.
All right, we welcome your letters. Yeah. Roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. A editorial in the New York Times. Governor Andrew Cuomo of New York, who has a huge war chest, is presumed to be far ahead in Tuesday's Democratic primary race. The assumption, however, should not allow him to shrink from a debate with Zephyr Teachout, his gutsy opponent. Ms. Teachout, a Fordham University law professor, has already appeared alone on New York One on Tuesday after Mr. Cuomo refused to participate in a debate. At Democratic clubs and other forums, the governor has avoided taking on his opponent, and on Thursday, Teachout debated Rob Astorino, the Republican nominee in WNYC, also minus the governor. I guess this brings up 2 points. One, of course, Alan, is that you know, the time-honored rule is that you don't try to debate if you're ahead. Number one, but number two, there is that question of democracy. And I guess a third point would be how important are the debates. So I'll throw all of that to you as a question.
Well, debates serve democracy well. Let people on both sides, all sides, give their views and let everybody hear them. Real politic is Mario did it, and so is Andrew doing it. I'll never forget when Mario's opponent, a former Westchester executive, called up and said to him, on the air, damn it, Mario, you know, why don't we debate? And he said, and Mario says, well, you've used the profanity, so I'm not debating you. You know, in other words, they'll come up with any reason if they're ahead not to do that. And that's what he did, I believe, with Pataki also. But that sort of turned around and bit him a little bit, the older Cuomo. So this is just pure the way that politicians do it. If you're ahead, you don't debate. That stinks, and we all know it, and the Times is right to call them on it.
Maybe we shouldn't just blame the politicians who follow good rules if they want to win, but we, the people who allow this to go on, even when we do have debates, look at the presidential debates, they're not freewheeling, ask a question, get a reaction. They're all staged and timed to make each side look good. We don't have a real flow of information, a real debate ever in our democracy, and we stand for it. So it's our fault.
So what would you rather have, Rosemary? Would you rather have, a stage debate? Information does come from them. I agree with you. But on the other hand, or nothing, which these guys believe in. I mean, Andrew Cuomo is not going to debate because he's ahead and he doesn't want to give Zephyr
Correct.
Teachout any kind of advantage.
Right.
And he doesn't want anybody to know who she is. And it's all politics. It has nothing to do with what's right. You know, there are politicians who are way ahead and who do the decent thing and debate because it's the right thing to do in a democracy.
I mean, there are other ways to get information across. I think Zephyr's using all of them. And I also think one of her main points is, look, we don't have debates. There is no free flow of information. The democracy is tainted. I think that is one of her main points. So I love Zephyr. That's my bias. I think she actually gets a lot of points just by being able to say, he won't talk with me. See how messed up he is? That is to her advantage.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we will continue our conversation and wrap up on this Friday morning. We welcome your comments, as always. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Alan Chartok, Ray Graff, and Rosemary Arameo. I'm Joe Donahue. We'll be back after this short break.